Okay, our text this morning will be taken from the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Well, we're continuing this morning in our series on the Sermon on the Mount. Now, with the Beatitudes, of which we covered two, give spiritual principles, the teaching of our Lord on salt and light gives spiritual applications of those principles. Now, these things being true, how do I live this out? How do I make this real in my life? So we have the teaching of Jesus, beginning in verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, I'm going to bring four points to your attention this morning that arise out of our text. First, that all Christians are light bearers. Every Christian is a light bearer by definition. Secondly, the light that is in us is reflective light, and I'll explain what I mean by that. Third, our light is to be placed strategically in such a way that it illuminates, that it lightens up the most area. And fourth, that good works can be seen and they glorify God. All of these things we find in our text. First, all Christians are light bearers. We learn in this passage that we are the light of the world and that we have light available to us that we might shine it. The text does not say that we ought to seek to have light or that we ought to look for that light or that we ought to earnestly pray that that light might be brought to us, but that we are the light of the world. There are no exclusions. Therefore, if you are a Christian, if you are a child of the King, then you do have light to give. And that light that's been provided to you from on high has been given you for a reason, that you might shine it in the dark recesses of your environment, in various places that God sends you. Therefore, let your light so shine before men. For Jesus has not left it open to the Christian not to shine that light. If we were to have a switch, he says, make sure that switch is in the on position. You've got the light. Just turn it on. Just turn it on. So, Christian, you've been called to shine in this dark world. Will you be obedient to the God, the one whom you call Lord, or not? The choice is yours. Take it up with him. Second point, the light in us is reflective light. Now there's a parallel statement that the Lord makes in John chapter 8 and verse 12, and you can turn there or simply listen along. John chapter 8 and verse 12 dovetails very nicely with our text. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Now, Jesus says, I am the light of the world, right? Light of the world with a capital L. We're lights with lowercase l's, right? In a sense. Now, his words here complement those in our text. Notice here he says, he who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. We have it. It's been appointed to us that we might have light and shine it. Believers can be likened to mirrors in a sense. Christ's light shines down, and the result is Christ's people are to shine. Remember Moses when he went up on that mountain and he saw the Lord face to face? And when he would come down from the mountain, his face was shining. Everybody around him could see it. They knew that Moses was a man who met God that day. What do people see when they meet you? When they see you, do they look at you and say, boy, that man of God, that woman of God, there's something different about them. It's almost as if they're shining. Do people say that about you? I would to God that that be said of each one of us here and everyone who holds the name of the Lord out for all to see. So that light that we're to bear and shine is unmistakable. The world around us will see it and know that God's kingdom has come into their midst. The true child of God ought not to fail to reflect that light. I'll give you an analogy. Think of the sun, right? Light years away. And what happens that night? The sun is still shining. The sun didn't stop shining and therefore it became dark. The sun is still shining, but that light hits the moon and the moon reflects that light onto the earth that would otherwise be dark. We're called to be the same way. You see, there's the sun, S-O-N. We might liken to the sun many light years away. And we're like the moon. The Christian is like the moon. When that light of the sun shines forth through his word, through his spirit, however it is he wills to work, that light reflects off of us. He uses us. Who are we that he would be mindful of us? But yet he is. And he uses us to bring his light to other sinners just like us. Isn't that amazing? That light shines from the sun, S-O-N, and we reflect that light into places that would otherwise be dark. Third point, our light is to be placed strategically. It cannot shine if it is hidden. Jesus uses the analogy, we don't put it under a basket. Now, in our kitchen, we have one major light source, and it's on the ceiling in the center of the room in order to maximize the flow of the light within the room. Right? When they wired the room, they didn't take that fixture and that light and wire it behind the refrigerator. They put it right on the ceiling where that light could be seen. It was placed where it would shine the most, illuminating the room. Now one says, oh, that I would always be in the presence of Christians of the best sort. Right? This is a good desire, right? The Bible says, do not have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but to rejoice in the fellowship of believers and to make friends with other Christians. Why? Because we're equally yoked. Because we're pulling in the same direction towards a common goal, glorification of the Lord. We can have nothing else in common. But if we have Christ in common, we have everything in common. People from all walks of life, if they're Christians, have a bond that is even greater than any professional society, as it were. Well, it's a good desire to spend time with Christians now. But consider, dark places could sure use a little bit of light. Now, I've got a lamp, one of those little camping lamps, battery operated. You just turn the switch, right? Now, pretend that's you in your Christian walk, right? Pretend you're a lamp, just for a minute. Might be a little far-fetched, maybe you can relate, I don't know. Now, pretend you're this lamp. Now, where would that lamp do a whole bunch of good, right? Would you take the lamp and put it right in the middle of this church and turn it on? I mean, you could. But there's already a lot of light here. There's already enough light. You really don't need it. But when I go into my shed, there's no light at all. And there's no outlet there, and there's no electricity. And so I sure could use that lamp in that dark place. It's the same way with us. Sometimes the Lord puts us in places, in very dark places even. Maybe we have one side of the family or our whole family or our workplace or whatever it is, where we go there and nobody knows anything of the Lord. Nobody knows anything of spiritual things. Don't forget to bring your light there too. Because the light is needed the most where the darkness is the strongest, where the darkness is the most pervasive. That light can shine into even the darkest recesses of the human heart. The greater the darkness, the greater the need for light. We think of missionaries, right? Where do missionaries go? Many times they go to these tribes or these places where they practice all kinds of pagan worship and cannibalism and all kinds of crazy things, where nobody is a Christian. And the reason why they go there is because the place is so dark that somebody needs to turn the light on. And so they go there having received their commission from on high. It's a very special work. Not all of us are called to foreign missions, but some are. And they're called to bring that light, reflect the light of Christ into that place, that the darkness might flee. And that light will fill that place. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Fourth point, good works can be seen and they glorify God. That's what our text says, isn't it? And as evangelical Christians, sometimes we kind of react to that a little bit. We hear good works and we're like, oh, we're not saved by good works. Well, that is true. Ephesians chapter 2, you can turn with me if you'd like, or you can simply listen along. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. For by grace You have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. In other words, we come to Christ with nothing but a prayer of faith, understanding that our salvation, that the road to heaven is paved, has been paved by what He did, that there's nothing that we can do to add to that. Neither can we take away from it. All we can do is cry out to Him, Lord, save me, a sinner. Have you done that? If not, do it now, in your heart. Lord, save me, a sinner. I need your grace. I don't deserve your grace. But I have faith, Lord, that your grace is enough. Lord, help me. I can do nothing without you. I desire your peace. I desire your joy. I desire this state of blessedness that you promised your saints. Lord, save me. Shine your light into my heart. A prayer of faith, such as that, will save your soul. For here it is written, salvation is through faith. It is a gift of God. Now to the point. Good works can be seen, and they glorify God. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead, said the half-brother of the Lord, James. Good works are the normal result of a heart that wishes to glorify God. They're done in the light, not in secret. We needn't proclaim our glory in the manner of the Pharisees. Remember the Pharisees who would go stand up on the street corners saying, oh, how great am I, look at me. You know, this idea that they wanted everybody to look at them. And people were so busy looking at them because they were seen as authoritative and the leaders of the nation that they were looking this way and not that way. And they missed their Messiah when He came. We needn't proclaim our own greatness. Another point on that note. People aren't stupid. They know a hypocrite when they see one. People will see very quickly through the hypocritical Christian, the one who doesn't practice what they preach, if you will, that doesn't have the inner heart motive that matches the outer profession. But you know, if people can spot a hypocrite a mile away, people can also spot a Christian that reflects the light of the sun a mile away, whether they admit it or not. They may go like this, but they see. Men will see it and they'll glorify your Father in heaven. Good works are things we do that glorify God. Outward results of the purity of the inward heart. Now last week we talked about, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I put up a couple of practical applications of that verse. Purity in prayer. The heart motives behind our prayer. And also, diligence in reading the scriptures. God's word to you. You want to know what God would say if he could be here now? This is what he'd say. These words. And he says these words to you. But now we're applying these inward principles to how we ought to apply them outwardly. Good works are things that we do to glorify God. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. This is certainly a very fitting topic. Today we're going to be baptizing our brother in Christ. Ray, please keep him in your prayers continually, that the Lord might give him the strength, not only inwardly, but to continue in that faith, to continue to reflect that light that is in him outwardly. And baptism is a sign, not only a sign of obedience, but a sign of an outward commitment before the world. That, you know what? I came to Jesus Christ. He did everything for me. I tried all that foolishness in the world. It didn't work. I'm done with that. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to follow the narrow path, wherever that leads me. Because I've got peace. And I want to keep that peace. And I want to stay with the Lord and abide in him. Because I realize that without him, I can do nothing. But with him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Three applications. First, public worship. Not only the private heart worship and the diligent reading of the scriptures, not only are those things important, but public worship is very important as well. Coming out to worship the Lord for an hour every Sunday morning, making that a priority. Saying, you know what? After all that the Lord did for me, it's important to me to go out and praise him. I want people to see that. What sort of a testimony is that if we loudly proclaim how much we follow the Lord and yet cannot spend an hour or two publicly praising him? What sort of testimony is that? Secondly, sharing the gospel of hope and peace with others. Now, if you've experienced this grace, this hope, this peace that Christ has given you in your hearts, don't you want that for other people? You know other people who are suffering. I'm sure you know people who are suffering much worse than you are. And they're trying to do it alone. Don't you want them to have Christ? That peace that passeth all understanding. Third thing we can do, helping others, especially those who can't give you something back. Simply giving to others without expectation of any kind of a reward. Because surely Christ will reward that behavior in the next life. See, now I've given you three examples you've got your bulletin, they're printed in the bulletin as well. Just as a reminder, throughout the week or maybe the weeks to come, that you might have sort of three things that you might be able to look at to show you how you might go forth and to give yourself a basis against which you might check and say, am I doing these things? Simply to aid you as you come to the Lord and ask Him, please, Heavenly Father, make my heart ever true. Make it more like You. And I know that as Your light shines, Your world will be turned upside down as people begin to ask You, why is it that You do these things? What makes You do these things? What drives You to that? Why do you go to church on Sunday morning? Nobody goes to church anymore. Why aren't you out doing yard work like your neighbors? Why do you spend the time praying and going to Bible study when everybody else is in the world's houses, whatever they may be? What's different about you? Why do you do these things? Heavenly Father, we pray that You draw us into ever closer communion with You. May Your name be glorified today. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.